Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 27th of August, recording at 9:35 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, what's the big story here? Well, obviously, there's a bit of panic here in the markets today. They've had a lot to worry about recently. The first factor, of course, was the big surge to the upside that we saw following that important low back in November of last year. It was a long time ago, wasn't it, at many points. And most stock markets did very well. The laggards, of course, were the primarily the resources markets, not to mention the resources shares. But the leader certainly became quite overvalued. And that was demonstrated on a basis of relative to their 200-day moving averages on those that you can see on the weekly charts, and we pointed out at some length at Fuller Money. And then we had fears resulting over currency flows, not least because of the ASEAN economies felt that they were in trouble, or investors felt that they were in trouble. They had been worrying really since Japan had seen its sharp decline in the yen. So again, competitive pressures increasing all around against countries that had seen their stock markets really surge, some of the best performers, as you know, during the bull market up until two, 3 months ago. And they've now lost form. A good many other stock markets have lost form. Then we had the Egyptian crisis, and that's not over. But the Syrian one is bigger still, following that shameful, horrific gas attack. And what we are chemical weapons or biological weapons attack. And what we now have is a fair amount of concern about military intervention. And we have the U.S. and its closest allies, no doubt reluctantly, but feeling that they have to move in and make a military strike, primarily or mostly, if not entirely, through cruise missiles against Syria's military installations. We've had Russia make some bellicose comments about that, warning them actually not to do that. And that's not so difficult to understand if you have been following, as I'm sure you have, the history of Mr. Vladimir Putin, and also the key fact that Syria has Russia's only military base in the Mediterranean, and obviously he wants to keep that. So this has been a bit of a perfect storm in here in terms of sentiment for stock markets, and it's knocking them back. It's certainly going to improve valuations in the process. It'll also do some economic damage here overall, but if the reaction is sharp enough, and it might well be, it will create another buying opportunity, because markets almost invariably overreact to these situations. And I think that will also be the case this time as well. But meanwhile, people are still running for safety. And the impact was considerable in here today. I'll give you a quick run-through. Now, Asia had a few stock markets that actually rallied today. Australia was among them. And China A-shares were also higher. And that was pretty much it in Asia. There were, however, some big hits overall among the decliners. India, with its currency problems, and the rupee fell to a new low against the U.S. dollar here today, was down heavily, over 3%. And the Malaysia down 1.25%, Thailand down 2.65%, Indonesia down 3.71%, and the Philippines down nearly 4%. So heavy selling in there, or a complete absence of buying. Now, the European markets were certainly not going to hold up during this environment, and we've had a lot of declines of 2 to 2.25 to 2.5%, particularly for France, the Germany, Spain, Italy, and it looks like I think the Netherlands down similarly. Now, in terms of Wall Street closed near the lows of the day. The percentage declines were smaller, but nevertheless fairly big for Wall Street. The S&P down nearly 1.6%, and the NASDAQ down over 2%. In here, Canada was down 1.33%, Mexico down 1.89%, and Brazil down 2.6%. Again, I repeat, a bloodbath against that background. Now, what actually happened elsewhere? Well, now I'd say in currencies, most of these Asian currencies, particularly the ASEAN currencies and the Indian rupee, were very weak against the US dollar. The one that's holding out so well here is the Chinese renminbi. Now, that's a managed currency, so they must be trying to keep inflationary pressures at bay. I'm not sure how long this will go on for, but that's what they're doing. Meanwhile, the US dollar index eased a little bit against some of these currencies in here. The euro is slightly higher at 1.3390, and I'm assuming that's no, sterling was not higher. But it's still reasonably steady at 155.38. But the US dollar index was down a little bit in here today. The bonds, the long-dated government bond yields, now, as you know, they've been sprinting up for most of the month, but they eased back in here today. And I think this is a scare that while the scare persists, we may see people seek a little bit of safety, and I should put inverted commas around the word safety, in the long-dated government bond market. So I wouldn't be surprised if yields pull back a little bit from the overbought levels that we had seen previously. But I think this is a very dangerous area. And let's say we get missile strikes, although that risks causing additional problems, as you know. But let's say we get missile strikes against Syria's military. Once that's out of the way, the odds are that we would see stock markets pick up a bit, and that we would also see those long-dated government bond yields move somewhat higher here once again. But in the short term, before that actually happens, and it'll be at least a week or two, might be my guess, they can the yields can pull back in a reaction, and consolidation is what it'll look like on the charts, I believe. Now, precious metals are enjoying this environment. I've mentioned, I think, in recent audios that it was pretty clear that we had seen important lows, given the strength of the rally that precious metals have been seeing recently. The main risk, in my opinion, is that we will see a reaction and consolidation of these gains once the short covering and immediate demand has exhausted itself. We'll see a pullback. We'll see a pullback and base extension, but we're not going to see a retest of the lows, in my opinion, or that would be very, very unlikely overall. Now, looking at other currencies, the I beg your pardon, other commodities. The biggest concern that I have is what happens here with these oil contracts, because we've got the WTI, that's the U.S. contract, that is up near the higher side of its range of the last few weeks. So it's up at 108.85 as I speak, and that's up nearly $3. But more importantly, the Brent, and that's the important, that really is the crucial crucial currency. I said currency again. Brent is the crucial oil contract, I will add. And it is at 114.36. Now, in the past, I've mentioned on occasion, and if we start to see crude oil push above the $120 level, and we're only $6 away from that, then I think more people will take fright, and also it'll cause some economic damage, which would also weigh on stock markets and might also help those government bond yields to come back down a little bit lower overall. Additionally, I find it hard to see why U.S. Federal Reserve would be inclined to start tapering in terms of their quantitative easing against this current background here overall. But if they do that, as I've said before, it's very likely to be for political reasons rather than any others. Now, elsewhere in the commodity markets, the industrial metals were quietly mixed. Not a great deal of change there. Copper is a fraction steadier here overall. The grains and beans, those key U.S. grains and beans, they did ease in here a little bit. That's good news because they had rallied fairly sharply last week. And that's about it in terms of the main points. So, a frightening day, but we get this sort of thing. As I said in my introduction, if we get this sell-off carrying on much further in this fashion, it will create, for sure, a buying opportunity, but we're not there yet. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.